Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us, whether in the house or on live stream, Facebook, however you have connected to us. We are thankful to have you with us this morning. We have some worshipers here this morning. They're going to lead us in a few songs, and we're going to do some word. But I just want you to stand, if you would, and we're just going to give God some praise and some thanks this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. How many believe that we live in a good season? How many believe God is still in charge? He's still King of Kings, and He's still Lord of Lords. And where our focus is determines where we go. Attitude determines our altitude. And I am determined to soar in Jesus' name. I am determined to as Paul said, I confess to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And that's where my focus is. My trust is in Him. My hope is in Him. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we thank You today, Lord, the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that it might flood every car, every living room, every bedroom, every church, Lord, everyone under the sound of my voice, Father, and all across this nation, that Father, as we lift up a voice of praise and a holy incense unto You, God, that as Zechariah stood in the temple and as he began to lift the prayer and the praise of the people unto God, how many know heaven showed up? Hallelujah. The messenger of heaven showed up and began to declare things that seemed impossible. So, Father, in an atmosphere of praise and worship, God, we are looking for the impossible to be possible. We're looking for the miraculous, Lord, and we declare and decree in Jesus' name, Lord, that we are covered by the blood. Lord, that we are saved by the cross, that we are resurrected in new life through the blood of Jesus. And Father, no weapon formed against us can prosper in any way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, hallelujah.
God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm begging, please again. I need You. Oh, God, I need You. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul. I need You. Oh,
sweet, sweet.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give peace. Amen. 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 Oh,
believe the words of the song this morning? Hallelujah. May his favor be upon you. I want Beth to just keep playing that for a little bit. To 1,000 generations, to your family, to your children, to your children's children. And then the song says, amen. Amen is when we say, so be it, Lord. Let it be so, O Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that.
May his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations and your family and your children and the children and the children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you.
Presence, oh Lord, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your reminders, Father, that you are for us and not against us. Lord, that your blessing goes before us to 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. We declare that our generations will rise up and be called blessed. In Jesus' name, we say amen to everything that your word says and that your word declares, Lord. And we profess to know nothing but Christ. Him crucified in the finished work of the cross of Calvary, Father. We honor you today, Lord, with our worship, with our praise, with our giving, Lord, with our hearts, with our words, Lord, that we might lift up the name of Jesus. And to that we say, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to give this morning, we have the offering plate, but also if you are watching us online, and this is our normal time to take up the offering, so if you're watching us online and you want to go to our podcast, our website, wodchurch.com, you can find our podcast there of all of our services, as well as you can find ministry connections, and you can find the donate button, and on there you can go on and donate and send your tithe offerings, however you want to do that. If you are mailing them, you can send them to 116 Harvest Drive, to Word of Deliverance Church, or however you choose to give. We want to say how much we thank you for your giving. We thank you for the support throughout this past year. I believe God is faithful. And I believe God's people are faithful. Amen? Just because we aren't gathered together, I believe that we sow into what we believe in. Amen? And so I'm so thankful for those who have stood with us, who have been faithful in their giving, faithful in their connection, faithful in being patient throughout the year as we navigate these waters. And so, I believe that we turned a new year. We're in the year of 2021. But really the only thing changes is the page on the calendar. If you don't change your mindset, change your heart, or change, you know, if you want change, how many know you have to change more than the page on the calendar? Amen. And so what happens is January ends up being, you know, the year that everybody's going to start out with a New Year's resolution. They're going to change their life in January. And by February, you know, we've kind of forgot that and we kind of get back to other ways sometimes, not always. But before you will ever change anything about your life, your finances, your marriage, your relationship with the Lord, your health, you must first change your mind. You have to change the way you think. Amen? You have to change, and they say to you, change one thing at a time. You don't have to change everything all at once, but just change one thing at a time if you want to see change. So, also, before I get started, I want to let you know that we are going to update our directory and hopefully have in hand everybody that they'll be able to have a directory with phone numbers and contact information. So if you have had anything have changed in your address, phone numbers, emails, whatever that, please let me know and we will change that. Or also if you do not want to have your information printed in a directory or whatever, let me know that as well. Amen. So we are thankful to be here this morning, thankful to be in the house, thankful to be with the house. Amen. Whose house ye are. So it's not just about coming to this house. And I love coming to this house. There's just something about coming together. Amen. There's a corporate anointing that flows. There's an atmosphere. I feel the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit here today. I love worship. I love to be saturated in His presence. I love the what transpires in the presence of the Lord. Because I'm just a firm believer that when you are in the presence of the Lord, things happen. Things change. And sometimes you're being changed and you don't even know you're being changed. But how many know God will lay somebody on your heart or He'll quicken something through worship or the Word will speak something to you and you'll think, I'll take that. Amen. And it encourages your heart in it. I believe with all my heart that worship changes atmospheres. How many know David knew the power of a harp? And you've heard me say many times, I believe David's harp was way more powerful than his sling ever was. And the reason I believe that is we are still reading the Psalms and singing the Psalms of praise in the year 2021. And I have no idea where David's sling was, but I have an idea where his heart was. And I know that he was a shepherd after God's heart. And the Psalms that he began to write, even in the backside of a desert, that have caused us to be encouraged in this day. Do you know sometimes in the seasons when you're sitting in the backside of the desert and hanging out with sheep, I mean, those are the times that God might speak His greatest secrets to you and speak the heart of God in those seasons as we begin to write those down. How many believe there's going to be songs written out of all of this? There's going to be books written out of all of this. There's worship coming out of this. There's words that are coming out of this. Things are being established. God's still on plan A. He's not on plan B, and He's still in charge. And I believe that, and I believe if you believe that today, you won't let it take you out of your comfort zone. You know, there's a whole lot of things here just even in late that I have had to silence. How many know sometimes you got to shut the door to some things? And sometimes that just means keep scrolling. Those of you who have Facebook know what I mean. You just keep scrolling. And sometimes you keep turning. We used to have to get up to turn the channel. Now we don't even have to get out of the recliner to turn a channel. You got the little remote control. Does whatever you want to. You don't even have to get up out of your seat to turn off the lights these days if you don't want to. You can just say, Alexa. When my grandson was home for Christmas, he was fixated on the song, The Little Drummer Boy. And so he would walk around my house with his microphone that was connected to his mom and dad's Bluetooth, sometimes in his diaper, and he would sing The Little Drummer Boy, rumpa pum pum. And he would go over to my Alexa sometimes, and he'd say, Alexa, play Little Drummer Boy. And sometimes Alexa didn't understand what he was saying, because sometimes he says, Awexa. Or he would say, Little Drummer Boy, but do you know how many versions of Little Drummer Boy there is? And he would get upset because it didn't play the right version. And his mom and dad would say, well, buddy, you got to say, play Little Drummer Boy by King and Country or whoever it was. And he would have to get the right connection. Aren't you thankful that God understands when you talk to God? You don't have to clarify yourself. You don't have to have all the things right. That, you know, if we talk to God like we talk to Alexa, we get some things done. Amen. And so I'm just thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I felt like, you know, last week we talked about the anointing of unity. and the power of unity. And I believe that in unity, there's an anointing that flows. The scripture tells us that that in the unity, it was like the anointing and the ointment that flowed down from the head of Aaron to his beard and even to the hem of his garment. How many of you believe that there's an anointing that is released, that is stirred, that flows when we come together in a unity with one mind, one heart, and that is to lift up the name of Jesus. And all other agendas set aside, and we become in that mindset, in that heart, God moves and releases an anointing that I believe is a healing balm of Gilead. Now, I believe that we have our own, I believe there's an anointing, but I believe there's a corporate anointing. Amen? And it's just like, it's a little bit like having a potluck dinner. When you bring your red velvet cake and you bring your pot pie that she makes and you bring your coconut cake or you bring your mac and cheese or you bring all those things together. When we come together, how many, there are so many different flavors and there are so many different things that cue your appetite. How many know the smell and the look of food will cue your appetite even if you're not hungry? There's something about coming to church that I believe cues your appetite, even when you're not hungry, that you start to see the flow and the anointing and the giftings of the Holy Spirit that are in the house. And when those begin to flow and they begin to move, it is like a buffet at Papa's house. Amen. So I'm thankful for corporate anointing. But one of the things I felt like the Lord spoke to me back even earlier in the year, several of the things, and one of them is that we are a city set on a hill. Now, if you're watching this on live stream, you might not get that as much as our local folks are, but how many know our church is set on a hill? Yeah. And I believe that we are a city set on a hill. We are the New Jerusalem. We are the Zion of God. We are God's people amongst other people, right? I mean, God has chosen us to be a city set on a hill. And one of the things that concerns me, even in our times and over the last few weeks and things is like that, is that God's people forget who they are. I mean, no, Jesus said, you are a city set on a hill. You are salt. You are light. How do we get light in dark places? When the body of Christ shows up. When we function as light and salt and as that city, how many know we begin to invade territories? I was thinking as the worship team was singing the song there, and I was thinking of the prophet and the servant. And when Elisha had the servant, and the servant went outside, and you remember the story, and when he looked up, he saw that they were encamped round about with a whole host of the Syrian army. Do you remember that? And the servant, because his eyes were focused on what was right directly in front of him, because he was so focused on what was surrounding him, because he was so focused on the turmoil or what was happening at that moment, that he lost sight of the power of God in Elisha, but he also missed the whole view of heaven that was camped round about. And he said to the prophet, he said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And I don't know, but I feel like there's been a whole lot of people crying out lately, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And the prophet simply spoke out. They didn't go to war with the Syrian army. He simply spoke out and said, "They that be with us are more than they that be with them." And how many know God opened the eyes of a servant who did not maybe see beyond where he was right then? And because the prophetic word was a true word, it was a sure word, and the prophetic word came to pass, the prophet began to speak, "Quit looking at what you're looking at and lift your eyes to another place." Dr. Lynn ministered a couple weeks ago, and he said, when you see the rustling or the moving in the mulberry trees, when you see something from a higher place, then you'll know that God is moving. How many know our focus so easily can get distracted, and it can be brought down to a lower place, and it doesn't take very long before somebody or someone does something or says something that takes you out of your realm of peace. Yeah. Amen. And I have purposed in my heart to not allow other people's opinions and thoughts and things like that to bring me out of a realm of peace. My mama preached a word one time that was, the scripture was, you are seated with him in heavenly places. How many believe today that you are seated with him in heavenly places? That is a place of rest, and it's a place in the heavens. It's a place above earthly things. And she had a row of chairs up here on the platform, and she said, I am seated with heavenly place with him in heavenly places, and I refuse to give up my seat. Anybody out there today can say, I refuse to give up my seat of rest. I refuse to remove out a place of rest in heavenly places because of propaganda. Now, we talked in Nehemiah way back in the summer that when Nehemiah got ready to build a wall, and he surveyed the temple and the city and the walls that were in ruins, he began to survey them, and he said, we're going to rebuild back some things. How many know that there's some things that have been dismantled? But there are some things that are being reconstructed. And what he began to do was pull rocks and the stones out of the rubbish. And he began to rebuild some things that were sacred, some things that were precious. But the scripture said that Sanballat and Tobiah hired propagandists against them to discourage people in their work. And how many know you can listen to the voice of Sanballat and Tobiah if you want to? But how many know Nehemiah's name means comforter, and I choose to listen to the name of the comforter? Ezra's name means helper. He is my helper. He is my comforter. He is my God. In him will I trust. Hallelujah. And they can hire propagandists against you all you want to, but what they started to say to them is, I'm on the wall and I'm doing a good work and I can't come down. Hallelujah. I can't come down to where you are. I can't come down to negativity. I can't come down to fear. I can't come down to anxiety. I'm on the wall and I'm doing a good work. Hallelujah. And then one of the things he did was he set them according to families on the wall. You know, right now in the time of COVID, they want you to stay with your families. You know, keep the germs amongst yourself. That's the idea of that. How many know God's got something greater than a germ for families? Hallelujah. But they were on the wall, and he said, I refuse to listen to the voices of Sanballat. I want to tell you today, the prophetic voice that you listen to will determine where you focus and what you do. And not everybody says, thus saith the Lord, is prophesying from a place of anointing. And you need to know what the word says. You need to know who you are. And in Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 15, I believe that the body of Christ is alive and well, and I believe we are challenged today. And here's my challenge to you, is to stand up, be a city set on a hill, be salt, and be light. This is out of the Message Bible. I'll do that one first. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors in this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your youthfulness and will end up in the garbage. In the King James Version, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Hallelujah. And so he talks about being a city. This is what you're here for. You are a city set on the hill. You are a light in dark places, and you are the salt of the earth. When I was pondering this morning, I was thinking about back in the day when Dan's dad, and early on when we were married, we used to do butchering. Anybody ever done butchering? And in the butchering time, I watched my father-in-law many times take that sugar and salt mix and tuck it in every nook and cranny of those ham hocks. And he would rub it and salt it, and he would do all those things. And you know what the salt did? It preserved it, and it prevented decay. How many know it would get in every little creek and crevice and crack of that ham stuff, and it would seem like that it wouldn't even work. But somebody figured out if I take salt and I put it on all the right places, then I can prevent decay and I can preserve what something that would have spoiled and went to waste, I can preserve it for another day. How many know if you are salt, you can get in little places and you can cause what seems like it's going to waste or decaying, you can cause it to be preserved and cause it to be something of substance to be used in another day. Anybody say country ham? Amen. How many know what happens when you eat country ham? It makes you thirsty. You drink a lot. Amen. How many know Jesus said, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, for out of his belly shall, out of his innermost being shall flow waters of living water." If you want to change our world, if you want to change our nation, if you want change to happen, you are going to have to be salt, and you're going to have to infiltrate every crack and crevice of everything that looks like it's decaying. And when everybody else thinks it's going to waste, you can stand up and say, "Watch and see what God will do in this season as he begins to bring salt and light and causes the city, God's people, to be a city that's set on a hill, a light in a dark place." Amen. And cause us to rise up to be who we are. Sometimes I think so quickly we forget the mandate of God on our life and who he has anointed us to be, who he has called us to be, and raised us up to be in this season. Amen. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 9 says, and this is in the Message Bible as well, it says, "So clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. Welcome to the living stone, the source of life. The workman took one look and threw it out. God set it in the place of honor. Present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priest, offering Christ-approved lives up to God. The scriptures provide precedent. Look, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret. To you who trust in him, he's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust him, the stone the workman threw out is now the chief foundation stone. For the untrusting, it's a stone to trip over, a boulder blocking the way. They trip and fall because they refuse to obey, just as predicted. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a people, God's instruments to do his work. Speak out for him to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. How many can say that God has made a night and day difference in you and in your life? I am so thankful for the Word. I'm thankful that we can get the Word in this day everywhere. It's on your phone, it's on your tablet, it's in your car, it's on TV, and to seek out the true Word, to know what the Word says, and that we hear the message that declares who we are instead of who we aren't. You know, there's a whole lot of things right now what everybody's against, right? I'm against this or I'm against that. Well, I just want to tell you what I'm for. I'm for the cross of Jesus. I'm for salvation. I'm for gathering in the assembly as families. I'm for, following the ways of the Lord. I'm for those things. I'm for honesty. I'm for integrity. I'm for truth. And if ever there's a day that we need us to realize and recognize who we are, to rise up. He said, you're lively stones. You are living, lively stones. He doesn't say you're bricks. How many know bricks built the Tower of Babel? And it brought confusion because everything was man-made, man-cut, and everything the same. I love to watch a stonemason actually lay real stone. Brick mason, you know, they keep it level and straight, and that's pretty awesome too. But to see a stone layer use real stone and to hew that stone and to tap in places and to put that stone into the wall as it is fitting and it pleases him. And the scripture says we are lively stones, fitly framed, raising up a holy habitation. Hello, holy habitation, whose house you are. You are the city of God. You are the temple of God. You are God's chosen people, a peculiar people, a holy nation. I declare that we are a holy nation today. Yeah. Amen. I believe we got to declare and put it before the people. Remember who you are. Remember what you were called to be. How do you change darkness? You turn on the light. You infiltrate it with light. How many know light drives out darkness? If you need preservation, if you need salt, was also used. They rubbed the babies when they were born with salt in the old covenant. They seasoned the sacrifices of the temple with salt. There was a whole lot of uses for salt, but one of the things that salt does is preserve, and it prevents decay, and it causes you to be thirsty, and it causes you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. That you are lively stones. How many know there's some things that we need to revive or hold before the people, and that's the message of the cross, the finished work, and make it forefront. For lively stones, people in general being torn down because of propaganda, but Nehemiah started to pull the stones out of the rubbish and started to reestablish some things. How many know you have to sometimes shake yourself and arise and say, I remind myself some days I'm anointed and appointed. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed and not cursed. I'm first and not the last. I'm salt. I'm light. That's what the Word says about me. Whether you agree with me or not, it don't even matter, because that's what the Word says about me. That's what God declared over me, and that's what I need to walk in to remind myself. You know, I was thinking about the scripture, a wise man, and the wise man built his house on the rock, right? On the chief cornerstone, the foundational things. I still believe in the foundational things. I believe in salvation. I believe being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gathering of the saints. I believe in the gifts of the body. I believe in the anointing. I believe in the prophetic. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe in giving and tithing, and I believe in servanthood, and I believe in all those things. How many knows those are some foundational things? That if your house is built on foundational things, it's not shaken like other houses are shaken. If your house is built on sand, it's going to be shaken. But I don't even want to worry. I don't even want to think so much today about the built on the solid rock. But I want to talk about a man builds a house. And I was thinking, I said to somebody the other day, I don't know that it was ever God's intention for Washington, D.C. to govern his people, but for his people to govern Washington, D.C. And so to do that, there must be a man, there must be a people, there must be those who stand and build a house. How many know the best way we will change our White House is to change our house? And to do that, we should restore worship to our house. We should restore prayer and Bible study and servanthood and giving and financing and put God in every part of our lives. I was talking with a cousin of mine who stopped by the other day, and he fixes up guitars, and he knows that we do workshops with the kids, and we do summer workshops where we do guitar workshops and things like that. So he gets guitar parts, and he puts them together, and then he builds a guitar, and every so often he will donate me guitars. And he will bring them and donate them. He said, here, give them to somebody who wants to play worship music. And he wants to put that into the hand. That's something God has put in his heart to do, and he's good at that. So he wants to put the instrument. I mean, no, somebody had to give David a harp. Somebody had to put the instrument in the hand of a young boy for him to decide that his harp was going to be way more powerful than his sword or his slingshot. And I believe in the power of worship. And anyway, he was talking about, back in the day, they played gospel music all over. They played with groups and quartets and played gospel music and all of those kind of things. And he talked about playing on the radio broadcast. And the Lord reminded me that probably at the age of 12 years old, I probably preached my first sermon on a reel-to-reel recording that went on the radio. And I preached on the radio probably way before I ever preached in a church. But how many know the reason I did that was because my mom and dad made opportunity in our house for us to preach and for us to play music. He bought me an accordion. He bought Lynn a guitar. He bought Jack a drum. And that's where we started plunking on all those things to become musicians. And now both of my girls way out play me and out sing me. I mean, oh, there is something I think that transfers when we begin to raise up our house. How many know I was encouraged by one of the kids in the church. You know, Erin was talking about when her little girl was at a Girl Scout camp over or something. One of the girls was upset. She said, Mom, give me your phone. She got her mom's phone. She went to the Bible app. She started looking up scriptures on comfort and fear and all those kind of things and started telling that little girl comfort and what the Bible says about fear and comfort and all of those kind of things. How many we can equip our house. We can equip our house with, you know, the scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Our kids need to know what the word says. Our kids need to know the importance of gathering together. Our kids need to know how to worship. They need to know how to pray. They need to know how to those things. Lynn one time told my dad when we used to do family devotions. And we would have to have family devotions with, you know, my dad in the evenings and things like that. And so Lynn told my dad one time, he said, I think I want to preach at the family devotions. And Dad said, okay, go upstairs and get your message ready and come back down when you're ready. And so Lynn went upstairs, got it ready, came back down. He said, I preached for 5 minutes, and that was it. And Lynn has not preached for 5 minutes since then. Can I just say that? And he will love me for this, but Lynn has not preached for 5 minutes since then. But how many know the beginning of an opportunity for our kids even to find their voice and find their place in God and find their anointing? A wise man or wise woman builds a house that restores worship, that that believes in the foundational things. That's how we fix our house. And those things trickle on into our government, to our teachers, to our hospitals, to our lawyers, to our bankers, to every part. How will the gospel infiltrate our country when we as God's people realize that we are a city, that we are salt and we are light, and wherever we go, we are infiltrating territories that we didn't just come in to be a part of that territory, but we came in to change atmospheres. You know, I love to preach on David in the cave of Adullam, but how many know there was 400 men in the cave of Adullam, and the scripture said they were discouraged and despair and downhearted, 400 men in a bad mood. How many know somebody is
It's going to have to be an atmosphere changer in that culture to stand up and say, it's in that cave that David goes back and says, and goes back to the priest and said, do you have any bread? He said, David, I have nothing but the showbread, the hallowed bread, the sacred bread. I want to tell you, if you are going to eat anything in this day, in this season, it better be the hallowed bread. It better be the bread of his face. It better be that living bread. He said, I'm the manna that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. And when he remembered that bread and the and he said, and do you have any weapons here? He said, we have no weapons. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we do. We have the sword of Goliath. The scripture never tells us that David ever uses the sword of Goliath again, other than that momentary time with the sling. Remember, he pulls the sword of Goliath and he cuts out off the head of Goliath. The Bible never tells us that David uses that sword again, but there's something that's reminded in the heart of David that says, God, if you were faithful over the giant then, you will be faithful over the king now. If you were faithful over the little things, you will be faithful over the big things. Hallelujah. How many of you can raise your hand and say, God has come through on me sometimes when I didn't see it coming. I didn't know how it was going to work. I thought it was going to fall apart, but God steps in the middle of something and he brings life out of that. And when he does it, it's so that you can go back to the cave and be an atmosphere changer, that you can encourage those in the cave, because in that cave with David was some of the mightiest men in the Old Testament. In that cave was Benaiah. He was the one who killed the lion in a pit on a snowy day. How many know somebody sometimes has to awaken the giant slayer in you? Giant slayers train giant slayers. You, as men and women of your house, will train those in your house to be mighty men and women of God and know how to slay the same giants and know how to be successful and teach them how to be what God would call them to be in this day. Hallelujah. But wise men build a house, and they build it not with natural stones. They build it with the resources that God has given and put in their hand. How many know by faith Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God? Hallelujah. Hebrews says you didn't come to the mountain that was touched with fire. You didn't come to Sinai. You didn't come to those places, but you have come to Zion, the city of God, to an innumerable company of angels. You are the city of God, a city set on the hill, and you are built from lively stones, not bricks. The comforter builds a city whose maker is God, whose house ye are. Hallelujah. We build leaders. We build teachers, we build nurses, we build doctors, we build lawyers, we build government officials, we build them in the house of God. And I just declare and speak forth today to call forth the anointing that's been placed in. You know, we were talking the other day about the broadcast, and he was talking about at a birthday party that we were at or something one time, that somebody stood up and read the people that had gone into ministry who were the descendants and the offspring of my grandmother Ethel. And my grandmother Ethel didn't have an education. She had no money. She was a widow at a young age, but she was a praying woman. And she prayed my dad in, and my grandma Barker prayed my mom in, and her sister, and all of those that prayed those people in. And who knew that the path that God would take them on, because somebody stood in the place and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and stood firm and stood solid regardless of what she saw. Because she had a monumental task ahead of her, just let me tell you. She had some rough kids, but by the grace of God, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that's how I know when I come across people that there's hope and there's help and there's calling. Sometimes those kids in your class that are the orneriest or seem to act out the most are the ones that have the most energy and won't take no for an answer, that sometimes can be world changers. Amen? That sometimes can step into arena and say,
Don't say you can't, because I know you can. My Uncle Curtis, he would say to them kids at camp, don't say you can't, because I know you can. But I just want to encourage you today. How many know we pull down strongholds through our worship, our prayer, and through the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Jesus told Peter, put away your sword. He said, don't you know that I have the access of the host of heaven at my access right now, that I could call right now, right here, right now, put away your sword. And what he does is when he reaches down and gets the ear of the servant and he puts it back on, can I just tell you, you'll do more by healing people than you will by wounding them. And the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit, where the very DNA of God touches your hearing and you begin to hear the voice of God, you'll know that you've heard from heavens. Hallelujah. In closing, I heard Apostle Kelvin Muhammad sharing some things this morning. But we're talking about pulling down strongholds. I just want to say to you, that on TV they'll have demo day. Have you ever watched any of those home improvement shows? They do demo day. Well, I feel like it's demo day on fear and despair and anxiety and discouragement and division. And I believe it's demo day. How many know those things have got to go? And the unity and the power of the Holy Spirit needs to rise up to bring healing. That we can deconstruct some things at their root, fear and violence and hatred. Hallelujah. But he made the statement, he said, put your feet into the Jordan. When Joshua and them got ready to cross over to the Jordan, he said, put your feet into it. And I never really thought about it like this, but if you remember when they walked into the Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant, the scripture said the waters rolled back all the way to the city of Adam. And he said, when we put our feet into whatever it is, when the saints of God step into the midst of chaos, step into the midst of disorder, step into the middle of sickness or fear, whatever it is, he said, when you put your feet into it, it will be cut off. When the saints step into the Jordan, it must back up. Whatever presents an obstacle to God's people advancing must back up when we remember who we are and who we stand in. We are salt and we are light and we are a city set on a hill. Amen. Stand with me this morning. And I believe we declare, as he did, that there's some things that have to back up. Fear and oppression and despair, because light infiltrates, salt infiltrates and brings healing. Hallelujah. Go ahead and just play something real quick on the keyboard, Beth, and we'll just dismiss in some prayer. But I want to pray over you this morning. I want to pray over our nation. I want to pray over a healing of our nation and pandemics and division. I want to pray over our churches, over our families, and over us as individuals, because I believe God does a work individually. I believe he does it in families and our houses. He does it in God's house, and I believe it becomes his house. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. It's not carnal weapons. The anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing whose you are, who you are, and who you stand in, will change cultures, atmospheres, arenas. Hallelujah. As we begin to infiltrate darkness with light, hope, peace, faith, love. Hallelujah. Those are the weapons. Hallelujah. Those are the weapons. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray over every situation. God, we thank you and we challenge each and every one of us, Lord, to be salt and light and to be a city set on a hill. That, Father, wherever we go, wherever we speak, whomever we touch, Father, Lord, that there'd be an exchange of your glory. Hallelujah. That fear has to back up. That sickness has to back up. Hallelujah, that hopelessness has to back up. And Father, I just believe that you are bringing greatness out of everything when there is chaos, God. When in the beginning there was chaos, you began to speak and light was separated from darkness.
and the waters were separated from the heavens, God, and you brought order, and you brought life, and you brought substance. Lord, and I thank you that everyone that is sitting under the sound of my voice who's sick right now, God, we just speak the healing, restoration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Infiltrate every part of their being. Hallelujah. Lord, for those who are in fear, those who are financially struggling, God, Lord, I pray that you will open doors that need to be opened. Lord, that you would set paths. And you said that you are a light under our path, Father. We thank you because we trust you today. We trust you today, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Thank you for joining us.